This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What growing inequality is doing to people as they get older. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, business is global. U.S. authorities are reportedly looking at U.S. connections to one of the most prominent families in South Africa. The Financial Times says the FBI is looking at individuals, financial accounts, companies connected to the Gupta family, which is currently embroiled in a series of scandals in South Africa. I spoke to the BBC's Andrew Harding in Johannesburg just now and asked about this powerful family.
Well, they're an Indian-born family who came to South Africa in the early years of democracy, 2 decades or more ago, and initially were involved in computers and so on, but then very quickly became very wealthy and very close to President Jacob Zuma. What we've seen are growing signs, indications that the Gupta family have had an extraordinary amount of influence on, for instance, the appointment of ministers.
Part of this is something called hashtag Gupta Leaks. What's that, like WikiLeaks, but for information connected to this possible influence buying?
Exactly. In the last few months, there was a huge WikiLeaks scale leak of emails, and they point to some what looks like very shady dealings between officials, between people who are, it's thought, linked to the Guptas. And so it's those emails and the extraordinary legwork in terms of investigations done by journalists and academics here in South Africa that have, well, created another hashtag, which is called hashtag state capture, the idea that the state itself here in South Africa has been captured by business interests and that the state is essentially being looted, that this is the biggest scandal of democratic South Africa's short history.
The BBC's Andrew Harding in Johannesburg, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Hashtag state capture. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down more than 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.5% range. Dow future down 103 points at the moment. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.31%. A new report by that Club of Richer Nations, the Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, says aging ain't what it used to be in the old days. The experience of aging is changing for the next crop of elders. One big difference, growing inequality. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When it comes to how people age differently, one stat pops out. Mark Pearson with OECD says American men with less education live about 8 years less than men with more education.
And that gap is much bigger in the United States than in virtually any other country that we've ever looked at.
The OECD has released this report to help countries learn from each other as aging inequality dogs governments globally. One driver behind our mortality rate, what happens during our prime working years. The U.S. is one of a few countries where employment for workers aged 35 through 44 actually has dropped. That snowballs and makes old age tougher, says economist Gary Burtless.
The adverse effects of having worse income may be pushing you to drink too much or take other steps that are not going to help your health and might lead to an early death.
Another glaring statistic, Americans with lower levels of education tend to be much sicker than their counterparts around the world. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
October 19th, 1987, 30 years ago today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average crashed, falling nearly 23% in 6.5 hours. That's like the Dow today falling 5,000 points. America's balkanized financial regulatory system was blamed in part for that mess, something that most would agree has still not been fixed. Today, another angle from 1987, a popular tool at the time called portfolio insurance. Here's reporter Alexandra Starr.
Kenny Polcari is a managing director at O'Neill Securities. On October 19, 1987, he was a newbie trader on the New York Stock Exchange. He still can't believe how the market tanked that day.
It just kept going down and down, and it never came up for air.
The stock of iconic companies plummeted.
Look, Johnson & Johnson lost nearly 50% of its value in 6.5 hours. Really?
A big reason for the decline was a computer algorithm that had been developed in the 1980s. It was called portfolio insurance. It aimed to take human fallibility out of trading. When stocks declined, the program would sell.
As the prices got worse, what happened? The portfolio insurance, they ran this all through their risk management software, and the computer spit out another message: sell more.
Even though the algorithm sold a little bit at a time, it helped create a downward cycle. Diana Enriquez is the author of a book about the 1987 crash called A First-Class Catastrophe. She says portfolio insurance helped lure institutional investors, like pension funds, into equities. That had big consequences on Black Monday.
And there was nobody to buy when everybody was selling.
After the crash, portfolio insurance fell out of favor, and the market made up its losses. But it took almost 2 years. Karen Petrow heads the consulting firm Federal Financial Analytics. She says there's a lesson to be learned.
When you have new technology that is ill understood both by traders and regulators, it's dangerous. It's like giving a 6-year-old boy a Ferrari. It's really not a good idea.
So we may not recognize the next fast cars of finance unless they are revealed in a market crash. In New York, I'm Alexandra Starr for Marketplace.
You can hear more about the 1987 perturbation and what it says about today's markets by checking out the series Crash Course at WNYC.org, and don't miss our coverage at Marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.